As you know, we've been teaching Pastor and I for quite some time on strongholds. And today I'm going to be talking about overcoming the stronghold of heaviness. But before we get into that, I want to say a couple things. And this is pastoral instruction. And we all need to listen really well, because the reason that we teach the Word of God is that faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing of the Word of God, because hearing and hearing means that revelation will come. The more that we hear, the more we understand that what the Word of God says about us is for us. Because sometimes I know that's what the Word of God says, but we don't take it as it's for us. And so I just want to give a little instruction here. It's been very, very interesting to me, and I said this before we started this series, we had several classes at the time I taught it for many weeks, and the onslaught of negativity that happened was astounding. And so we started again, and then you take 21 days of fasting and praying, then it's interesting. But I want to just share this with you. And this is a personal thing now, okay? This is each one of us. I'm going to share you something to beware of. Beware of. I have to beware of it, because my husband can get under my skin right now more than ever. I just want to tell you guys something. Got to beware of strife. Be aware of strife in your household, because the enemy will try to go back to and stir up whatever he can to get you in a confusion, get your feelings hurt, and then you'll get in your corner and you'll suck on your thumb for a few days. And I'm, as your pastor, saying, beware, 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 beware of getting offended easily. Do not be offended easily. Don't let me offend you, because I might not be in my right state of mind. None of us are perfect. But we have to put up our guards and say, I'm not going to take offense. And I am not going to be complaining to others about something I don't like. This is good preaching already, right? I'm not going to talk about a decision that was made that I don't like, and I'll go to them to cry on their shoulders. Come on, church. God wants a church that is maturing and growing up. When we teach the kind of things that we're teaching you, that there are symptoms that work and say, oh my goodness, I've given in to that symptom. None of us have arrived yet. But we are on our way. And when we can understand, I want revelation to come in your life so that you understand that the arguments you're having at home, the arguments that you're having with your children, the little nitpicking things that are going on, could it be a spirit at work trying to get us to answer the door when he knocks? But when we refuse to take the ugly, then he has to take his ugly and go. So I just want to really, because this, I want us to do some self-examination and be quick to apologize. Be quick to apologize. Because where we're going isn't worth us wasting all of our time on these little things. And those are tools that the enemy has to use. And he tries to use them against us. So Paul said, there were several things Paul said, wasn't there? But the one thing that kind of comes up, and I wish I had the scripture for it right now, I don't, but maybe one of you Bible scholars will know it immediately. But he said, don't think it's strange when situations, we fall into situations, we get involved in something that we wouldn't normally get involved with. I'm just, as your pastor today, I'm saying, stop it, stop it. Stop it. No more, no more. Now you say, well, is somebody bickering? Well, they probably are. or I wouldn't feel this so strong to say it this morning. Let's don't get distracted from what God wants to do in our life, because it's powerful what he's wanting to do. Amen? Everybody agree with that? It's hard to get that water down there, but it looks really good, doesn't it? Don't you love it, Nick? It's all for you, Nick. We love you so much. You work hard around here. Overcoming the spirit of heaviness. And I'm just going to start off with a few of the symptoms or characteristics. These are things that if we notice them in our lives, it's like everything that we have preached, every spirit that is trying to keep us in bondage, trying to keep us under his thumb, trying to discourage us, trying to get us to think that we can never be victorious. But any of those thoughts are just lies from a lying devil. But there's characteristics in all of these. And so I'm just going to name a few of the symptoms. Excessive mourning. Sorrow and grief. Self-pity. Insomnia. Brokenheartedness. Despair. Hopelessness, suicidal tendencies, depression, and inner hurts. Now, I know that you'll say, well, that was linked to another spirit that we've been teaching about. Well, I told you they buddy up. They buddy up. And so many of the symptoms cross over. But today we're talking about that spirit of heaviness. And I will tell you that I walked with a cloak on, over me and heavy and pressured me for many, many years of my life. And so it's something that probably everyone at one time or other, you've mourned over a loss of a loved one, a loss of a job, a loss of a relationship, a loss. We have all mourned. And that's okay, because the word of God said there's a time to mourn. And so mourning is part of our makeup. It's part of how we are made to grieve over someone that we love that has left this world, or some we love, a broken relationship that we don't understand why that they would not want to be our friend or not want to be our wife or our husband. We don't understand many, many things. So brokenheartedness comes and despair comes. Isaiah 16:10. We're going to read that this morning. We're going to lay some foundational scriptures down here. And gladness is taken away and joy out of the plentiful field. And in the vineyards there shall be no singing, neither shall there be shouting. The treaders shall tread no wine in their presses. I have made their vintage shouting to cease. This sounds an awfully lot like sorrow, grief, despair, hopelessness, depression, and inner hurts, rejection. And this word says, gladness is taken away, and the joy out of the field. Have you ever found yourself in that place? Yeah, you have. We all have. There's been times, and that's when the treader shall not tread out any more wine in their presses. In other words, you can't fulfill the gifts and the calls that are within you when we are tied up with a spirit of heaviness in our life. But we can overcome it. Now, I do want to say this about singing. It's really interesting, because from a little girl, when I was just a little bitty girl, I always loved to sing. My daddy was an old-time preacher man, and he would set me up when I was 2 years old, 3 years old, on what they called the pulpit back then. And he would set me up, and I would sing my heart out. I loved to sing. And all through my life, even when trouble would come, singing was something that helped me, something, being able to sing. But there was a period of time. In fact, I remember one of the ladies in our church, we would, you know, when you go to the bathroom or you whatever, she'd always say, I know Sister Rose is in here because I can hear her singing. And I sang all the time. But there came a period of time several years ago when I lost my song. And I became, at first I didn't know I lost it. Have you lost your song? Are you still feeling that inside of you? But when I realized, I thought, oh God, I've lost my song. And I remember going on a missionary trip several years ago, and I was in a squatty potty outside, and I began to sing. I was just singing, and I thought, there's my song. I was singing about the Lord. I was singing, and I was so excited that I got my song back. And then life goes on, and the next thing you know, you lose your song again. See what I'm teaching and preaching you today. See, the enemy comes in and he steals something that's of value to us. And try as I might, I couldn't get my song back. I'd pray and I'd say, God, I want my song back. And I'd just try to sing and nothing. But every so often there would be a time where I'm singing. It's easy. And over the years, it's got easier and easier. And after our fast, our 21-day fast, I sing in the night, all night long, when I get in the shower, singing all the time because something got broken in me that the enemy kept trying to pull away from me. And you might say, what, you know, song? Yeah, in the shower, I'm singing, oh, my life, you've been so faithful. Oh, my life, you've been so good. See, when this happens, you make the avenger stop his harassment over your life. And I want to prophesy today songs over your life. In the name of Jesus, I loose that which is in people's life that has caused them to lose their song, losing their ability to sing a song unto the Lord. Lost their ability today. In the name of Jesus, may some of you begin to sing night and day. You'll find yourself singing over and over again about the goodness of God. May the Spirit of the Lord put a song in the heart of every man and woman that's sitting in this house. Because that song will strengthen your spirit. And it's okay to have your gospel music going on and singing along, but there's something different when it comes from your innermost being and you begin to sing and you begin to praise in Him, because it's something that we are not to stay captive all of our life. We are not to stay captive where we have to hang up our harps and we can't sing. We have to hang up that which was, but we've got to fight and say, devil, no. God has put a song in my heart. If nothing else, I'll get a psalm from the Word of God, and I'll begin to sing to my own tune. It's okay to sing a song to your own tune about the goodness and grace of God. I encourage you to do it, because this is a year of breakthrough, and the enemy tries so hard to steal from us. Nehemiah 2 said to Nehemiah, he said, why is your countenance sad, seeing you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. Do you know there are things that bring sorrow of our heart? A lot of it comes along with pastoring. Sorrow of heart. You can't fix people when you want to. In your everyday life, there is sorrow of heart. But when Nehemiah began to talk with his king, he began to explain to him why he was sorrowful. God used the king to help. God is looking for us today to bring what is sorrowful to us and let him know with the confidence that he is listening to us and that he's got a plan for whatever it is. The spirit of heaviness tries to take our joy out of living, lulls us down and with heaviness, burdens us down. And it's interesting, the enemy will always try to come in when you're going through a situation, and he'll try to get us to mourn even more than what is natural. He wants to get us into an abnormal state of grief over the loss of a loved one. And many of you in this building, you know exactly what I'm talking about because you've grieved over losses of a child, losses over different situations of your life, unfairness. It can be the loss of a job, an unexpected layoff, being fired. I must not be good enough. And the next thing you know, it goes into something that is not normal. It goes into a grief. The loss of a boyfriend, the loss of a girlfriend, or a lifelong friend. People even can go into grieving over the loss of a pet. But I believe the Spirit of the Lord is telling us that it's time to adjust physically and psychologically for us to get out of being stuck. Do you know we can get stuck? We know that there's harassment, but we're not getting free. We can be stuck. And God says, I don't want you to be stuck anymore. I want my people to be free. We will never enjoy successes around us in life if we're stuck. Isaiah 53:3-4 says this, surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He has borne our griefs and our sorrow. Every one of them. I'm so thankful that he has borne our sorrows. He has borne our grief. And he wants his people free. There are people that, because you lost someone on a day, there are people that literally every anniversary. Can you imagine how it is when someone loses a child traumatically in a car wreck or by some, you know, someone else's hand, a little 3-4-year-old child ends up getting adopted and then they get killed. We, you know, you can turn on the radio, the TV every day and you can hear about lives of young people being snuffed out. And the grieving of those parents, it's unbearable. It's not, you know, you can't just say words enough that are going to heal them. But we just love on each other. We just are there for each other. But God doesn't want us to get stuck over any loss that we have in our life. Because if we stay there, we won't know what it means to walk in the goodness of God. We have to stop rehearsing our tragic moments of life. We rehearse over and over. Do you know that when you rehearse over and over in your head, something's got stuck in there? And when it's stuck in there, we're not able to enjoy what God wants us to enjoy. God wants us to get unstuck. And we can do that by reflecting on the goodness of God in our life so that self-pity won't take control. Self-pity, I'm telling you, I used to have it bad. I was probably in my early 20s and I can remember I just was depressed. I was sorrowful. I was everything. I felt sorry for myself. My situation was not good, what I was living in. But there were moments where I had self-pity. And there's always opportunities. But you know what? No one else wants to come to my party. It's a party by ourselves. And self-pity is a destroyer. And that if we don't get rid of it, that heaviness will crush us. Philippians 3:13-14. This is a good scripture for every one of us. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before me. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what we're doing, church. We are pressing forward. We're going to leave these things that were back there that we cannot change, we cannot fix. But today, God wants to set us free. God wants you to leave this building today free from these things that the enemy keeps trying to get us to reflect on. Most self-pity is really a selfish motive. Isn't that something? I never thought about it that way until I began to study. But now, I mean, it makes sense. It's a selfish motive because it comes because of circumstances that we don't get to control. Interesting. The enemy, he has a lot of little inroads into our lives if we don't stop him. We got to come against that spirit of heaviness so that symptoms will stop and cease in our life. Amen? Psalm 69:20. There's so many things that break our heart, and we've all experienced heartbreak. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. There are those times when it is just you. It's just me and him. And it's in those times where we make life choices. It's in those times that we decide, we choose that I am going to go the way of the Lord. I'm going to get my song back. I'm going to get back anything that the enemy has stole out of my life that God said I could have. I'm going to get it back in Jesus' name. And you just read the psalmist here. And he says, reproach has broken my heart. And I am so full of heaviness. But no one could fix me, basically is what he's saying. No one could fix me. But Isaiah tells us that we don't have to retreat into our shells and never come out, because that's not God working in our lives, but it's the work of the destroyer. See, the whole purpose of us preaching on the strong man is so that we can say, that's what's been afflicting me. That's something that was sent out by the enemy. That's not of God. If I feel this way, that's not of God. If I've got malice in my heart or unforgiveness, that's not of God. It has to be the destroyer that is trying to get me to get even, trying to get me to act in ways that are not his ways. Jeremiah 43:2 says, when thou pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. When you pass through the waters, there's been times where you felt like you were drowning. Have you ever felt like your arms are too tired to swim? And you're surely, dog paddling a little bit, but it's so high you can't find the bottom. But the word of God said that we are going to pass through the waters. We're going to go through those times. Everyone, no one is exempt from these things. But we have two choices, when we go through and when we come out. But he says he'll be with us. They shall not overflow thee when you go through the rivers. Isn't that something? They can't drown us. They're not going to drown us because our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in him who says that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Amen. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord God, to them who are called according to his purpose. All things doesn't mean that everything that happened in your life came from God. It just means that when it's all said and done, you can say, thank you, devil. You thought you were going to trip me up with this, but God has brought me out. He's brought me on the other side of this situation, and I'm still praising you. I'm still on my feet, and God is still my God. We have to be playing defense instead of the offensive. I believe that 2024 is exactly, that's what it is. God is training and teaching us together as a church to be more like him every day. Broken relationships, they're a tool that Satan uses to throw his fiery darts at us. And he wants to cause deep wounds in our spirit and in our soul. He wants us to be wounded so bad. And there's nothing more ugly than a wounded person. When a person gets wounded, it's like an animal. They tell you, be careful around an animal that is wounded real bad. A person that is wounded will strike out in many different ways. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to take the wounds of our spirit and of our soulish realm so we can lash out and get rid of all that anger and venom. But you won't get rid of it like that. We'll never get rid of it like that. The only way that we can get rid of it is when we humble ourselves before God. And we say, I know, I understand I struggle with that, but I'm tired of it. I'm not going to continue to struggle with this. I'm not going to. I will say, I'm sorry 2,000 times a day if necessary. I will humble myself because I do not want what God's got for me to pass me by because I made the wrong choice. It's all our choices. It's up to us. Proverbs 18:14. Says the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Well, that's a powerful, powerful scripture. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? The enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what he does. So he wants to kill the unity in your family. That's why we pray. That's why we just keep on praying. That's why we plead the blood of Jesus over our households. That's why we practice honoring each other. You know, you want people to honor you? Practice honoring others. Practice honoring. Practice, you know, that given it shall be given. It's a scripture that works for everything. You give lies, you're going to get back a whole lot of lies. You give mercy and you're going to get mercy shaken down and running over. He wants to kill unity in our friends and in the members of the body of Christ. That's what the devil does. He just does his thing. Okay, church, we got it. What are we going to do now? We're going to stand on the line of defense and we're going to say, uh-uh. We're going to be just like Shammah and we're going to say, uh-uh. You have stolen too many times and you're not going to steal it again. There is no way you're going to take what belongs to me again. And that's what God is wanting us to do as his people, to stand and say, uh-uh, not again. If you're involved today in a hurtful situation, we need to ask God to forgive us personally. Isn't that something we always want? Well, they haven't told me they were sorry. They haven't asked for forgiveness. You may never get someone to ask you forgiveness. You can pray for them. But that's up to them. We need to ask God to forgive us. And then we need to ask the other person to forgive us. If we've wounded someone in our house, if we've said words that wound somebody in church or on your jobs, in your office, if you have a problem being right all the time, you got a problem. Because there's no way that we're right all the time. Mm-mm, we're not Jesus. We're not the Holy Spirit. Now, we can listen to the Holy Spirit, but sometimes the Holy Spirit gets accused of things that are not of God. And so we need to be careful with that. We need to learn the voice of God. And if we don't know the voice of God, we will listen to strange voices. We need to forgive the other person by the act of our will and keep the situation committed to Christ. And please don't go back and rehearse it over and over again. Not that same old problem. Practice beginning every thought and bringing it under subjection. See, we got homework. On the way home, we got homework all next week. We got to practice pulling down those strongholds because they will not come down easy. And we need to learn to think on things that are good report and that are pure and that are holy and that is righteous before God. We need to bind the work of the enemy, and we need to continual walk in forgiveness, because just because you forgave somebody today doesn't mean that all the pain has gone away. It means that we walk it out. It means that we keep praising God. We keep asking God to give us our song back so that we can praise him from our innermost being. It may take some time for total healing to come. Healing is just what it is. It's a process. God can give us miracles. And thank God for the miracles that he does. But if we got a miracle every time we get brokenhearted and, oh, we're fighting, we really are, we wouldn't know what it was to walk through that thing and learn how to forgive other people and to forgive ourselves. We wouldn't know that if we didn't have to walk through it. We need to make sure that we're not holding anger, guilt, unforgiveness, or anything that opens the door to the destroyer. You know, it's a big job. That's a big job to close the door on the destroyer. That's a lot of work on our part, because our flesh has been in charge. We've let our soul dictate to what our flesh acted and reacted on. So it's going to take some work. But I believe that we as a At Solid Rock, I believe that we are going to stand against the plans of our enemy. Amen? We know for a fact that I don't have the statistics from it. I should have looked it up. But we know for a fact that since 2020, that depression hit so many people from the ages of 4 or 5 years old. The biggest group is between 4 and 5 years old. Up to like 30, 35 or 50, somewhere in that. I have some old reports on that, but it's huge. And you think a child 4 or 5 years old that is depressed, it's because they're living in brokenness. And it goes on through the house. It goes on. That's why the world needs so much love. They need so much of our compassion. But depression costs American billions of dollars every year in lost work, in medical bills. God wants us to be free. Hopelessness because of situations that have caused depression. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8 and 9. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia. Trouble comes. Trouble comes, right? Trouble comes. Has anybody had any trouble? Trouble comes. And he's saying here, we don't want you to be ignorant of the fact that we've had trouble. Well, it came to us in Asia. It just comes in. It's like, how'd that get in the door? Well, we need to find out, don't we? Then he said that we were pressed out of measure. Pressed out of measure. In other words, you couldn't even tell me how hard I was pressed. Above strength, inasmuch that we despaired even to life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves. Aren't you glad that we don't have to trust in ourselves, but in God, which raised the dead? The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead has raised us up from death into light. And that same spirit wants to set your home free. Amen. Go ahead. Don't patty cake. Amen. Have you ever had so much trouble in your life that you saw your own dreams die? And many of you, you could say yes. I had dreams. We think it was going to be one way. It didn't end up that way. We've all been there. Been to that place that only God could raise you from the dead. But thank God we're all still here today. I believe that he's raised us from the dead many times with many situations in our life. Depression, we've said this before, it's like a cloak. And I believe that there are families that have generationally your mama, your grandmother, generation great-grandparents, on and on, that suffered from depression because of things that happened in their life, and they went around with a cloak of heaviness over them. Maybe they didn't have this kind of teaching. Maybe they didn't have the revelation that God wants to set us free, and that the enemy has come over into an area that he is of our life that he should not be allowed. Amen? I'm going to wrap this up. I told the worship team I didn't have a whole lot today. And you all can come on up if you want. But listen, don't pay attention to them, because I want you to hear this. In Christian people, Pastor and I have been pastors. We were raised in pastors' homes. We've been in ministry all of our lives. That's all we know. But the first step that will lead you down the road of depression is the neglect or loss of interest in God's word. That's the very first thing. First steps. When we lose interest, is there anybody in the house today that you've lost interest in the word of God? Don't you righteous people act like you've never been there, because you probably somewhere in your life weren't very interested. That's not where you're at today, but there's some here today that are struggling with that very thing of having a loss or a lack of interest in reading the word of God. We need to read the word of God. Our children, it should be so natural in your home for them to know that you're reading the word of God and they're hearing the word of God. We can't afford to get lost in the process of living, because that's when we'll begin to serve. We'll serve the church. Oh, we'll serve the church. We'll do what's expected. We'll come in and we'll sing and we'll play our instruments and we will do it. We'll sit over here and we'll sign, but I'm not really interested. I'll come because I said I'd do it and everyone expects me to be up there. I'll do it, but I've lost my interest. I've lost that joy of serving. I've lost the joy of my salvation. Life will take a sameness that will become more and more like a dark tunnel without an exit. Remember, there was a saying years ago that they thought that it was a light at the end of the tunnel, and they found out when they got closer, it was just a train coming 90 to nothing, about ready to run them over. And that's how it feels. That's how life feels. That's how the enemy wants us to feel. Sure, we got problems. Sure, we have situations. Every man and every woman is going to face that. But he says, take heart, because I have overcome the world. Suicidal thoughts are characteristics of the spirit of heaviness. Feeling that life is not worth living. Same schedule every day, same focus, same kids, same wife, same husband, same bills, same disappointments. Now, does that sound like the word of God that will get our song back? Because, see, it happens. And maybe today you didn't even know it happened, and you're like, that's me. I don't want to read the word anymore. I want to talk it, but I don't want to read it. I don't want to listen to worship music, because that's not the kind I like. I don't like that kind of worship music. That's not mine. So I can't find anything I like. Do we understand what the enemy is doing to us in our lives? The enemy's plan is to get our mood to go down until our will is paralyzed. That's his plan. And when that happens, other strong men will step into our life. That's when, the next thing you know, a spirit of jealousy is taking over you because somebody else is doing what you wanted to do. or spirit of jealousy comes over because you've been passed over so many times for promotion, and you know that you could have handled it. You know that you couldn't. So many times when you were just waiting for somebody to tell you good job, waiting for somebody to appreciate you and honor you. But if we don't fight back, the enemy will win. And you'll think, why? Where is that person that I was? The one that I could feel the anointing of God easy. Or where is that man or where is that woman that I confessed and I gave Jesus my heart? I gave him, I said, I'll give you everything. But yet I find myself trying my very best to control my own world. We have mighty weapons for our disposal. Isaiah 61:3 says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. We need to trade in some ashes today. We need to trade it in because he says, I want to give you beauty for ashes. I want to give you the oil of joy for mourning. I want that grief to go away. I don't want you stuck anymore. I want the all of the joy of your salvation to overwhelm you and overtake you. He said, I want you to get the garment of praise. We're going to trade in a spirit of heaviness. How do we do that? We praise. We praise. We worship. We praise because he's good. We praise because he is our answer. It's not only that he has our answer. He is our answer. And we have his word, and we've got to use his word. We have the sword of the Spirit. How dare we want to destroy the temple of God that he has put his anointing in? God, help us to see that but what has been happening in our lives is some things that we put up with for years and years and years until we don't know how to get rid of them. We don't know how to get it pushed out of our house. Well, we got to start somewhere. The first message that we preached, and Tracy, is it okay if I just share a little bit of that? Okay. We preached on the spirit of divination. And she was listening, hearing, faith heard, hearing, faith grows, hearing, faith grows. And it struck her so much that she went home. Well, you want to come and tell it real quick because you can tell it so much better. It doesn't mean that everything yet is perfect in her life because it's not. But she had revelation that is changing her life. It changed her life from that night.
So it's from that moment, I realized I have a lot more spirits and demons that I'm dealing with. But knowing who they are, knowing that name, has made a difference in how I face my days. So when I am offended or I'm jealous, I'm better at calling those things out and identifying what I see in the relationships around me and the people that I interact with, that's their hurt, that's their demon coming out right now, and I love that person still. And when she did the divination lesson, I didn't know that reading horoscopes every day in college and like banking on that was a sin. I didn't know that my kids playing Dungeons and Dragons was wrong. I didn't know, and that was ignorance on my part, but it was also neglect of the word on my part to not know those things. And so I felt very convicted that these things that I had in my home were affecting my parenting. They were affecting my children's behaviors. I have a 18-year-old, an 11-year-old, and a 4-year-old. And so I went home and I explained to my children that we were going to get these things out of our house. I didn't want these dice. I didn't want these cards. I didn't want spell books. I didn't want any of it in our house anymore. Because that's not what God wants us to have. And we don't play around with that. Even if you don't believe that spell is true, We're not messing around with that in our house. We don't need those spirits there. And so I tried to set them on fire. It took forever. I camp. I know how to start a fire. It would not burn. And then when it did, it burned for over 12 hours. I put it out four different times. There was a period where it was blue. Don't get me wrong, chemicals on paper, whatever, can make things change colors. But it had already been burning for quite a while. And it was bright blue, and it shot up out of the pit, and it was terrifying. And I just prayed. I just prayed over my family. I prayed over my house. I used pastor's oil, and I anointed my home. I anointed my child care center. And I'm like, we're done with this. My son's homeschooling this year has gone so much better. My oldest son is off all mental health medications and is functioning. He is full-time employed. He is functioning within our family. He's attending other family functions. My youngest daughter has her own thing, and we're figuring out what those spirits are. But we're taking it, you know, a day at a time, a week at a time. And I know that the more I learn and the more I grow, the more they grow. And so I know I'm doing right by her when we've had a really bad day at school, right? You know, I mean, we're like throwing chairs, and she can be a little demon sometimes herself. And she'll get home and she'll go, "Mommy, just pray with me." And we do. And we stop and we pray. And the fact that she's asking to pray with me, and that she knows that when we pray before we sleep, we can have rest. This little girl with nightmares who hates sleep. And she'll go, "I need you to pray with me first. Roll me like a burrito in a weighted blanket and pray with me. Just pray with me," because she knows that can keep those things away. And so I'm doing something right, but I still have a lot more room to grow.
When we look at the world and we see how much chaos is going on, we understand that the enemy's after our children, because he's been for a long time, and he doesn't give up, because he wants revelation to stop so that it can't trickle down. But when homes begin to do what she's doing, speaking the word of God, begin to pray over your children, begin to proclaim what the word of God says. And I know, like, there's times where we don't know what the demonic spirits from generation, 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 but the Spirit of God does. And we begin to come against those things. We have to be aggressive. Psalm 22:3 says, "But you are holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel." God, you are holy. And we press into you because you are holy. And we want to come where you're at. We want to come into your presence. We have to be aggressive. Let's don't give in to dark moods. The best way to change your dark mood is recognize it and tell your mate or someone else. Like she comes and she said, "Pray for me, because I know that's not right." We've got to humble ourselves so that God can do what he wants to do in our life. Remember King Saul, who would call upon David to play beautiful, anointed psalms, and the attacks of heaviness would leave him. He called for a man that knew not God, but he called somebody that did. Called him, "Come and play," and he would play the songs of the Lord on his harp. Praise stills the avenger. If you can't sleep, praise. If you can't sleep, praise. And you'll find yourself your rest. Whether it's 3 hours or 4 hours, it's going to be more restful than it's ever been, I promise you. It's going to become more and more restful for you. The devil cannot stay. Would you stand up with me? Where God inhabits. Don't give up. Use the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Give in to praise. What are we going to get? We're going to give up. Allowing the enemy to push us around as if he owns us. Because he does not. If we're a child of God, he does not own us. He is just trespassing. That's all he's doing. It will cause discipline upon our part, obedience upon our part. Psalm 9:2 says, I will be glad. I will rejoice in you. I will sing praise to thy name, O Most High. That's what we're doing. That's what we're going to do. There are great rewards of humbling ourselves. Great rewards when we humble ourselves. Anytime you think you are right all the time, the only thing that's going to change you and make you livable is when we bow our knees. Because there is not any of us that is right all the time. If you think you are, then you're trying to be God. Because you are not. I am not. We are not. We are not. Psalm 29:11. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalm 55:18. He has delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there are many with me. You may think you're fighting your battle by yourself, or you and your wife are fighting the battle by yourself, or you and your household, but I'm telling you there, you are not. Number one, we pray for all the families of the church all the time. And number two, if we know you're struggling, we're making prayer cards. We're praying over them. You are not alone in this battle. Philippians 4, 6 through 9, and you don't have it back there. I'm going to read it out of the ESV. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds everything and anything we can understand. His peace will guard our hearts and our mind as we live in Christ. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. Boy, now this hard. Isn't this hard? Because isn't it amazing how easy it is to gripe and complain about something? Isn't that so easy? I mean, it is. And it's so easy to let your anger, if you can go off like this, you got an anger problem, you need to get delivered from it. Need to get delivered from it because the enemy's going to use it against you. It will embarrass you. I'm so glad that God can free us. Get your thoughts on what is true. Fix your thoughts on what is honorable. Fix your thoughts on what is right. Fix your thoughts on what is pure. Fix your thoughts on that which is lovely and admirable. Think about things. See, this is the renewing of the mind with the word. Think. Oh boy, we got a lot of hard work to do, don't we? Isn't it easy? Nobody has to ask us to take a negative thought. They just bombard. They're there. We can tell everybody how to do everything, and we want them to know how to do it right, right? Keep putting into practice all you have learned and received of me. We're going to pray in just a few minutes over these. But how about we offer up a praise unto the Lord? How about we offer up some praise? How about we ask the Lord to put a song in our heart and a dance in our feet so that we can rejoice and we can praise God? Go ahead. Thank you, Father.
All my life you have been faithful.
Oh, yes, you have.
And all my life you have been so good.
Would you just lift your hands and praise him and thank him?
With every breath that I